This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business, bringing stories from books to life for both young and old through storytelling events. In the storybook, you get to experience stories with all your senses by listening, watching, performing, and participating in interactive activities during the event. I'm here with Janisha Wan, the brainchild of the company called The Storybook. Now, Janisha, you are also in public relations, right? Why did you decide to go into this venture as well?
Okay, it's also because of the public relations company that I was running, because I was hiring people and I noticed many of them, you know, when they, because PR is also about storytelling in a sense, because it's not just about writing or, you know, relationship, you know, it's also about how do you tell a story about your client's services and products in a way that people understand. So when I was trying to hire people, I noticed many of the people I hired, the young people, they are not able to tell the story.
Right.
And it's difficult to actually teach them or train them to do that, you know. So that's why it really pushed me forward to start the storybook, to start them young, you know, like teach children from a very young age how to love stories and how to tell a story.
Right.
Although this idea was with me for a long time since I was a child, you know, since I was a kid, I really like to do this kind of thing. But then being in this situation of seeing people are not able to tell a story convincingly was what made me really go into it. And I always use the story of the late Steve Jobs, and I always said that why he was able to sell the iPhone so well or
right.
the Apple product so well, because he was able to tell a very convincing story.
Right.
So people love that story, right? So. So storytelling is a skill that is very needed in this day and age, and we kind of neglect that because we all thought it was public speaking, you know, writing skills and all that, but it's not that. It's about a story that makes people listen to you and convince them to actually get something from you. So whatever career that we are going to later on, it's all about that as well. So
right.
That's why I went into it.
When we were growing up, there wasn't, you know, like in probably schools in America, there's always show and tell, right? We don't have a lot of that, well, during our time growing up. And I get it, right? So even working in PR, seeing that whether it's clients, whether it's staff, the ability to tell the story well, right? Because once you're able to tell that story well, you're able to convince people, you know, metaphors, parables, that sort of thing, right? What's the concept behind the storybook when you started this in 2018? Was it largely children, kids?
No, we actually evolved a lot from the beginning, because when I first started it, it originally intended it to be a space, like when we go to a library or we go to Disneyland, right? We experience things differently. Like we go to a library to read books, and then we go to Disneyland, we experience all the theme parks and so on. I wanted it to be a space where people walk in. So that's why my door is actually the cover of a book, you know. So when we walk in, you like as though you're walking into a book, and you experience all the stories from books everywhere. There'll be like, you know, stories being broadcasted on radio, for example, or even then you can see on the screens like a museum of sorts, you know.
Right.
So I wanted that to be that. But unfortunately, location is one of the issues that I learned. You know, we were at first located in the Desert Park City. Now we are in New Damansara.
Oh.
So when we were located there, Desert Park City, it's a new place. So traffic, of course, wasn't so good.
Mm.
And then also, I tried to hire external storytellers, but I found that they were not very engaging because they were just reading from a book, and I always put myself in the kids' shoes, and I think I don't think I enjoy that kind of, like, it's very passive and very one dimensional. It's like you just listen and then you walk away.
Mm.
So I decided to experiment with a couple of things. So it was from we opened our doors in February 2018. So we went on a few months like that, you know, one measure we hired people to come in and just tell a little bit of story, and that's it. So a few months down the line, I decided to, like, why don't we just do something different? Like, I ingested things that I learned from my own performing arts background, not professionally, but in school and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I injected those. I even injected the event management part, how to make the event interesting for children. You know? So I injected all these, like, activities, etc. And surprisingly, it was, like, it was very well received. And then from then on, July, we started with, I remember the story was Nate the Great, you know, it was like about Nate the Great. And right. we just did some detective activities with the story. Right. We told a summarized version of the story, and we had all the activities related to the story about what detective activities they did. Mm-hmm. And from then on, it just went off from there. And people just, like, sometimes we have, amazingly, we have parents, like, banging on our doors, like, demanding to be let in when they're late, right? There's some begging to sit on the floor because I said it's so out already, no more seats, you know?
Right.
They wanted to say, please admit me, let me sit on the floor. So it was overwhelming, and I noticed this is because there's no such kind of events like this in Malaysia at all, you know, that they combine all these elements. Most of the time, the children just watch, and then they go home.
Right.
This one, they get to be the star. They get to participate in the activity. They get to role play as the princess or Snow White or the prince or whatever, you know,
right.
in the story. And they dress up to come, you know, we have Snow White and all the kids dress up as little Snow White skin with their costumes. And also, we have all the other stories that everyone dressed up. So they wanted to, you know, actually experience this.
Mm.
And the biggest takeaway was when, you know, sometimes when you thought it's just like a dress-up costume, but dress-up event, but it's not. The kids walk away, and then when they go home, they will tell their parents the story. They actually absorb the story.
Right.
Because it's very simplified.
Right.
And sometimes when they walk away, they will ask to buy the book, but sometimes we also sell some of the books, that, like, let's say it's Snow White. We will display some copies of the Snow White for sale, and it's normally sold out. It's like they grab the books. And even we did the Gruffalo, and then the one parent was telling us the kid went back and sang the entire song again and again and wanted the mummy to read the story every night. So that's the greatest takeaway that we have. We noticed the children absorb the stories.
Right.
So for us, it's all about not teaching them about acting or public speaking or all that. It's not about that. It's about teaching them the story. I want them to love stories again, you know, like,
right.
and they want to grab a book and say, I want to read this story now. Because children nowadays, most kids and most young people don't like to read stories. When they see a book, they're like, okay, I'm not reading that.
And this is going to make them, you know, stand apart in the future. Because if otherwise, it's very passive when you're just watching a YouTube video or even just reading a book, right? It, once you've absorbed it into your body, you know, like, you're then excited about the read the book to relive that memory again, right? So I guess when somebody comes, right, what are the courses available that you have there?
Okay, so most of the time we have been running storytelling events. So the events are not really a course or a class. They will come and participate. And not on the spot, let's say, for example, we have Mid-Autumn Festival just a couple of weeks ago. And then we will say, okay, who wants to be the rabbit and who wants to be the Chang'er in the story? All right? And they will just put their hands up and they will ask to come up and we'll put the props on them. And then we just guide them on the spot to act out the story as they go along or say the dialogue. So those are the events that we do on a regular basis, like almost every Saturday, except for now, which is we have to stop. But we also started in something we called the Storybook Academy in September, mid-September. So we offered two classes. One is, for now, we started offering two classes, but we are offering more. One is the role-playing, the other one is the narration class. So the narration class is for older kids. We teach them how to narrate the story. Although they are telling the story, but they are not solo. That means they are doing it in a very engaging way, with other kids acting out as well. And then the other one is the role-playing class, which is normally very popular with young kids. So we notice the ones who sign up mostly from age 4 to 7, there are a lot of this age range because maybe they're not in school yet, so you know, that's where they had all the time for this. And the classes actually was very well received, especially the role-playing class. It's already full when we open it for the parents. So their parents were waiting for this, actually. They wanted something to really let the kids learn on a regular basis because all this while we were just doing events, like storytelling events, and they are not like consistent classes, but they are more like an event where they come and just enjoy themselves, have fun, you know. So this one is a class that teach them how to do it, you know, like teach them how to act a jack in stop, you know, how to act a giant, you know. So it's not professional acting, but it's really, again, all about the story. When they go back, they remember the story in their head, you know. So it's like not professional role-playing and stuff. For the parents, they really just want the kids to to they are most of the parents who come to our event. I mean, the customers who come to the storybook, they themselves are people like us. You know, I mean, who love stories as well as a child when they were young. So, and they notice they don't have this. Actually, most of the parents also enjoy role playing it. Sometimes they come to our events and they will role play as the king or the queen, you know, or we will put all the prop on them as well, and they will join together with us to have a bonding session with the child as well. So it's a very good bonding session because you get to play with your child as well. So that's what we have been doing. So of course now our classes for the academy, we started in September and we are supposed to end the first intake in mid-November, but now we are a little bit sidetracked.
Right. So, and we'll talk about that. You know, what's happened with the MCO, how that has, you know, I guess, you know, changed your plans. In just a moment, I'm here with Janisha Wan from The Storybook. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Backing feminist movements. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Open for Business. Good morning. I'm Frida Liu. I'm here with Janisha Wan talking about The Storybook. Now, very interesting how, you know, you're doing public relations. You started this organization called The Storybook. And, you know, you had grand plans this year, one of which was to license your brand to preschools, but that had to be shelved. And will this be something you'll be pursuing?
Yes, hopefully once the schools are back on track, we hope to pursue this because we still receive inquiries about how to do this. So I'm still thinking of, like, you know, we probably can't cater a one-size-fits-all. So I'm thinking of how to package it for individual schools. Well, some schools are big, some schools are small. So that depends on their infrastructure in terms of their manpower. Because when we license the brand to them, they must have a team to be able to conduct the classes or the events, like how we do it, you know. So they must be able to be, they have the manpower to do that. Because we train them how to do it. So it's like franchising, you know. We train them, but they need to have the people, the place, you know. So I noticed some schools do not have everything, you know. Some schools have they do have the infrastructure, but there are also a lot of protocol they need to go through and et cetera. So that's where I'm trying to simplify it into something more like we train the trainers now. You know, we don't license the brand first, we train them first, and then we see whether can they actually conduct one or two events without our, you know, without being helped by us. And then from there, they will see whether it takes off. But at this moment, it's very hard to tell for certain what's going to happen next because so much uncertainty happening now. Like every day when we plan something, the next day, no, we can't do this. Yeah. In fact, the licensing thing is quite popular outstation. We have even schools from Lumut, International School in Lumut, who reached out to us for most of the schools. They wanted us as an enrichment program. Because when they have classes, then what do the kids do after that? And also, after the class, for example. So this is a very good thing to use to engage the children. So,
And so, you know, when you before the current situation, right, what did you do in terms of, you know, ensuring safety compliance in your venues?
You mean the licensee?
Safety when you had these events.
Compliance.
Yeah.
You mean before the MCO or?
During the MCO. I mean, like, not CMCO, you know, when we were allowed to have events and all that.
We follow all the SOPs. We limit the participants per event. Normally, our events can go up to 70 to 100 pax, you know.
Right.
So I had to, like, you know, cut that to, like, half. Or sometimes we go by families because families can sit together. So, like, we said 10 families or 5 families per event, you know. So we limit the number of participants and, of course, we follow all the hygiene SOPs, face mask wearing and you know, sanitizing and temperature checks and so on. And also, of course, cleaning our place. So we follow all those SOPs.
Right.
We also try to hold events outdoor, you know, so that we don't have, we are not in a confined place. So, like, we have done events in KL Bird Park, in Taman Rimba Kiara, and, you know, Secret Garden. We did Secret Garden, like, the bird, the emperor, the nightingale. So we try to make it more, like I said, everything is very interactive in the sense that the story relates to your environment, you know. So we make the environment very much like as though you're really in the garden, you know. So like, maybe tell the Secret Garden, for example. So those are the things we've been trying to do for safety reasons.
Right.
Of course, we also did, we tried, experimented with online storytelling, but we felt that didn't really, for the customers who come to our events, they really want the physical types, you know, they want to experience it in real life.
Mm.
So online is like just watching a screen, which I also did not really like, because I also don't like watching a screen all the time. And I think it's not very good for children, because they're already spending a lot of time watching the screen for their classes, right?
Right.
So we didn't want to proceed with that, but we just experimented one or two sessions, you know, and that was it.
But it's clever, like how your stories are outdoors, right? So that helps as well, you know, being innovative and being, you know, different in that sense. And, you know, like with your staff, how many staff do you have? You know, how did you guys rally together during, you know, the MCO, CMCO, RMCO? You know, what do you all do then?
Yeah, okay. We are a very lean team. Mm. So all this while, we have been very lean. But since the pandemic started, we are leaner. We're even more leaner. Mm. In a sense, I pivoted, it was something that I had, again, had in mind for some time, but did not really felt the urgency to do until, like, the pandemic started. It was using training people from externally to be the storytellers, to be the narrators, because we can't engage them and, you know, just ask them to do something that we wanted.
Mm.
So I auditioned for people who wants to be storytellers, narrators, and they came, and then I see who is suitable, and then we train them, in a sense, we train them. So we engage them per job. So at any time we have a event, and I also look at their style, because everyone has their own style of their voice, a different pace, etc. So I see, okay, this person is good for this particular story, like, high energy. And then this one is good for, like, princessy stories.
Mm.
And she would do that. So for the rest of the people who are on the more on the event side, where, like, whether it's guiding the children or setting up the event hall, those are, we have interns doing that. So we don't really need a very high paid person to do that. So interns are very high energy as well. They
right.
like this kind of stuff.
Right.
So we've been on that very lean mode now, and I'm not sure, we hope to see recovery next year, but at this point it's as lean as it gets, right? It's like, really.
Okay. And of course, you were working with international schools as well as bookshops, right? On bringing this as well. So that was temporarily been put on hold.
Yes. The schools and most of the previously, the schools and the bookshops that engage us, actually, most of the time, what they do is they, like, for example, they have a school trip, they have the bookshops, they have their own launches or, you know, whatever to do with, yeah, whether it's a book launch or it's a marketing event, or like an anniversary, book access anniversary. So they will come to us and say, can you do a storytelling for us? And then we will, okay, and then, of course, they will pay us a sum of money and to do that kind of thing. So those are, of course, this year, since then, we have, you know, we can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we are still collaborating, in a sense, we're collaborating with them in other ways. Like, for example, we ran an online storytelling competition in June.
Mm-hmm.
The whole month, June was a couple of online storytelling competitions, and we partnered with Book Access.
Mm-hmm.
So Book Access provided the prizes and as well as the joint marketing, in a sense, you know. So that's why how we still try to work together, but not physically, you know, not a physical event, but that way.
Right.
And coming up, we are doing something else. We call it the COVID and Me Story Campaign. We are partnering with Sunway Malls.
Right.
We want children to express their story about how they feel about the whole pandemic, you know, because kids, they don't know how to express it out, you know, in a way that we adults think that we can do it, right? But the kids normally, they draw, they write a little poem, you know, or sometimes when you interview them, then they will say all things that are, you know, something could come up from them. So we have just formed up the mechanics for this, and we are probably going to announce it in a couple of days, within these 2 days, about how this thing will be conducted. So it's online. So the kids, when I say online, means the kids submit the write-up or the art, and we post it on Facebook, and it will be judged by Sunway. And then the other one, the videos, based on popularity, it's also the video interview. We will have kids coming up to be interviewed, so we will ask them, okay, what is coronavirus? And then they will answer things like, I don't know what they feel, or how can you stop the virus? You know, then we'll see what they answer, because very young children, I always think that when they come to this time, everybody wears a mask. They think it's the norm. Actually, for us, we say it's a new normal.
But right.
actually, for us growing up, we didn't have this, right?
Obviously.
But for them, yeah, when they grow up, they have to be confined in small boxes. When they sit, they cannot touch their friends, you know. And they have all these things that they're a bit, and it's like one whole year of being in this situation. It's not just a couple of months. Yeah, in a sense, they may be psychologically affected in a way that we do not know how, you know. But but that's why we wanted them to express it out, you know, tell us how they feel. And hopefully, you know, this is a way of storytelling as well, but it's just that through various means, you know.
Right. And I guess just a final question, how do you plan to ride out this wave, you know? As we, it's like, you know, as you were saying, like, businesses stopping and starting depending on the COVID situation, right? And, you know, I guess your plans for the rest of the year and 2021?
I have to say, we are taking one step at a time. Currently, I have to say most of the plans that I made was not able to be carried out.
Mm-hmm.
So having to be very fast on my toes, like, once this change, okay, what am I going to do next, you know? So, but we always come up with something. So we always come up with, like, for example, this COVID and me campaign that we you know, right. it just came out like that. As to how to write out the so keep costs low, that is always for all business, keep costs low, conserve as much as possible, lean staff, you know, lean staff costs. Try to maximize whatever assets that we have, whether it's our space or we have an event hall that we can be rented, or like try to, like, okay, everyone who wants to use a space, please use it, and, you know, whatever, you know, the amount can be negotiated. So we have people coming to us for birthday parties, want to rent a hall, et cetera. Mm. So we do all sorts, you know, whatever that pays us, we'll take it, you know. So that's what, how we try to ride out this storm of, like we say, we do not know when it will last.
Yeah.
But basically, a conservation of resources and keeping costs low, those are the basic plans that we have.
Right. One day at a time. Thanks for spending time with us, Janisha Wan from The Storybook. This is Open for Business. I'm Frida Liu, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.